folk said that I would change my mind. I'd straighten up and do just fine. Ah, but I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling with the flow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on what's left of this Monday morning. Essential Technologies text line 251-343-0106. I will try to get to these remaining texts, four or five of them, for the conclusion of the program. Joining us now on the line from my old stomping ground up in Huntsville, very pleased he is making time for us this morning, State Senator Sam Gavan. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing wonderful today.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. Before we get into what we were going to have you on about, how is the 2023 legislative session going for you personally?
Well, I think the bow on it will be if we can pass my State Health Officer Act. I believe that, I feel like this is my most successful session yet. And, of course, I didn't realize I was counting the other day. I'm like, how many bills have I got? And I filed 25 bills. Like, wow. And I put a couple of them on ice because ran into roadblocks early. And then a number of them were passing the House version. But first on the calendar in the House tomorrow is my judge bill, which will actually, your listening audience will be interested in this. It will get a new district judge for Mobile and a new district judge for Baldwin, and at least one circuit judge, maybe even two circuit judges for Baldwin. I just don't remember right off the top of my head. So it's hitting the growth areas of the state, you know, Madison County, Lee, Tuscaloosa, Shelby. Of course, right there, the Elmore, Otago, Chilton County area that's growing as well.
Well, best of luck to you on that. But, let's talk about State Health Officer. Obviously, he made some comments, and I guess he would like to have him back. He initially denied he made them, but I don't know. I don't believe your lying ears. I think you were on my friend Dale Jackson's show, and he said, this thing was dead. It was out in the ditch. Then here comes Scott Harris with a hitch and a truck, and he's about to pull me out of the ditch here on my bill.
Well, and it wasn't that the bill was dead, that it had been gutted. And there was an earlier 1819 article about how I was sort of dismayed and how, where I thought we kind of had we're in an accord working out some of the changes. And I felt like I did get knocked in the ditch with it. And right now it's got some new life, new legs. We'll see. We're expected to have it on the floor of the Senate again tomorrow because it is at the call of the chair. I may have some an amendment on there. There's some people that are concerned that we're actually giving more power to the State Health Officer, and I'm trying to let them realize he's got the power now. There's nothing I've got in my bill that gives me more power. I mean, my bill, my substitute as it is now would check power of the State Health Officer by requiring statewide emergencies to go through the governor's signature. But there are people that are trying to twist this and going, oh, and now they can require a vaccination. No, that's done by another statute and it's limited. And, you know, that's not the intention at all. I mean, you're talking to somebody here that neither I nor my wife have had the COVID vaccination, have no intention of getting it. And so I'm not going to get interested in going there at all.
Well, what it appears to me to do is it kind of keeps the framework somewhat similar, but you add an accountability mechanism where this panel of doctors, MASA, the no longer going to do this, and now it's elected officials that sort of go about determining who the State Health Officer is.
Well, but there is a check there, and because in this came from Republican senators, we had talked about, well, one thing we had talked about at one time was having a confirmation by the Senate. But then some senators said, well, wait a minute, we don't confirm other people appointed by the governor as far as a lot of people appointed by the governor, but not in her cabinet. And of course, we can talk about who is in her cabinet. And so we backed off of that before I filed the bill. And then the other issue was, well, what if we got a governor that wants to put their golfing buddy in there, you know, and if it's just, you know, purely at their pleasure and they can put in whoever they wanted. So we put in some requirements, in addition to being a physician, that you would have to have a, you know, either a master's of business administration or a master's of public health. You got to remember, the state health officer is running a large division of Alabama's government. And there, again, no accountability to the taxpayer, none. You know, they're accountable to a board of doctors. And so that's always been my big beef. I'm not trying to relitigate the COVID experience. I mean, did I like it? No, but, you know, Coach Dye used to say hindsight's 50-50. And, you know, I'm not sure even with hindsight that somebody could, you know, plot it out just exactly what should have been done. It's you know, it was a fluid, very fluid situation. My biggest beef is, you know, that we've got that section of government and all we get to do is fund it. And I don't like that, but, you know, we did put a provision in there. Again, we could have some, you know, sort of off the rails governor in the future. And, so we do limit the governor, just like we do for judgeships here in Madison County and many others. We limit the governor, not just picking whoever she wants, but picking from a list of three. Now, we don't put the number in here. We just say that the state health board will be providing a list to the governor. And, in reasonableness, they should be working with the governor about who's on that list. I mean, I would think you'd coordinate that, but they wouldn't have to. You know, if I were the governor and I was really disturbed by who they gave me, I'd say, okay, well, you can give me that list. We'll get the person to move down here, and I'm going to fire them on the second day, and then you give me the second name, and I'm going to fire them on the third day. And then we start talking about that list again. So, I mean, governor that wants to get involved can get involved. But I think it still puts, you know, pressure on from just, again, just putting a golfing buddy in there.
Well, something, you know, we went through the COVID experience and we realized just how much power the Alabama Department of Public Health has, a lot of antiquated laws, some would say. But I don't think what people did not realize is maybe how the ideology of that bureaucracy is not in line with the values of the state, generally speaking.
Well, some of the stuff that we've seen that they, you know, granted they received information with regard to sex education or transsexuals or things of that nature. They received it from the federal government, but that doesn't mean they had to, you know, ship it out to Alabamians. And that certainly has seemed to be out of touch with the average Alabamian.
Right, and I think that's where people get a little put off by it. You know, like you said, you don't want to relitigate COVID and the vaccine mandates and that push and all of that, but you do want something that's not going to be an affront to your beliefs if your tax dollars are going to it. And it feels, to a lot of my listeners, it feels helpless because there's nothing you could do about it. You're just told, well, this is how it is, and suck it up.
That's right. And, you know, again, this is accountability to the people. Now, some people are saying, well, wait a minute. We don't need to have health issues subject to, you know, politics. Well, this is more than health issues, folks. There's politics involved. And when we just, you know, the door was opened up on that, the curtain, I guess, pulled back a little bit, better probably to say.
Well, I think we're learning a lot about it. Well, tell me, just logistically looking at your bill, Senator, I mean, time's tight, 7 legislative days. What's it going to take to get across the finish line? I mean, I think obviously the Senate, it's got a shot. What about the lower chamber? What do you think?
So my biggest concern there is, you know, what committees they go to, and does it get held up at committee? And, you know, as the, I've asked, representative there to help me with it. There are actually several, but, you know, one to take the lead. And I feel good about what its potential is, but, you know, we do have to let, you know, Speaker Ledbetter understand what's going on, because I have not worked with him about this before, because I've just been working with the Senate to get it in the position it's in. So hopefully we'll be able to move it through the House, but as you point out, we are running out of time, and we will have some bills there that are going to be cloture bills. I don't think this is going to be one of them, but they're going to be, when you start getting into, you know, I mean, candidly, the Speaker and the pro tem getting their priorities across the, and, you know, I'm not, it's really not necessarily their priorities per se. I mean, I think one of the speaker's priorities is my judge bill that's first on the calendar tomorrow. And why as I say it's one of his priorities, because he put it first on the calendar. That's his pick. So that's obviously one of his priorities. But, you know, there are the speaker and the pro tem take their cues from their members. What do the members really want to pass? I mean, we're at the point in time now where we're being, we're being polled about, what are your priorities? And so it does come down to priorities here, and we may get caught in a time trap, but all we can do is push as hard as we can, because if we don't push, we know what the answer is.
Well, generally speaking, what has been the reception to it? Because there was a point in time, Senator, when there was a lot of momentum for something like this, and it kind of petered out. And I it's hard for me to read. You got a new legislature, and just where, you know, the Republicans in the legislature are with this.
Well, it's like a lot of things, Jeff. I think the reality is that it comes up for a vote. Most Republicans are going to have to either vote for it or take a walk. Even if they don't like it, and I know at least one that really doesn't like it, and it's, I understand their reasoning for it, but it's been too much of a political hot potato. It really shouldn't be. It should be about how do we run state government? Do we run government with accountability to the people or not? And right now, the state health department is not accountable to the people whatsoever, and we are trying to afford some accountability to the people. And, you know, I feel like it's going to be hard for a Republican to vote against it. But again, I got to get it to the floor.
Well, just me speculating here, I got to think the Alabama Department of Public Health not a big fan of this.
Oh, no. Neither is Massa, and neither is the Board of Medical Examiners. They're all working to, against it. But, that's part of the part of their roles, I guess. And so everybody's carrying out their roles, and my role is to try to get good government for the state of Alabama.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, we lived through COVID, and we learned about the responsibilities and the power of the state health officer. We're past that now. I mean, why is this office, why is it relevant to us right now? I mean, it maybe not as relevant, but is it function in other ways that we're not aware of?
No, I mean, they control so many different things. It's not like they just, show up once every 100 years for a pandemic. It can regulate, whether the oyster beds are being harvested, a restaurant is shut down. I mean, there are a lot of things there that the health department can do, it's supposed to be protecting the people of Alabama. And what I'm trying not to do is I don't think the governor needs to be bothered, anytime that the affluent kicks up too much and they need to shut the oyster beds down. I don't think that's a gubernatorial call. She shouldn't be bogged down in those kind of details. There are certain things we've got to trust. You know, we're going to have a state health department that we trust the state health department with. Okay. But then, but this does on the massive, kind of things, like if we have another pandemic, we're not going to be able to shut down things across the state, across the big region without, without the governor signing off on it.
And not to put you on the spot here, but have you got any reception from Ivy's office or, any indication of where they are?
So my understanding is they are somewhat agnostic about it. And because the way we have it set, again, I tried to not make this about personality. I tried to not make this about Dr. Harris, not make it about Governor Ivey. So when we did this from the get-go, and I worked with Massa on this language that, this portion of the bill that relates to the governor appointing the state health officer would not kick in until the earlier of a vacancy in the state health officer or a transition to a new governor. So, if the governor's office became vacant for any reason, or if, then it would kick in, or obviously at the end of her term, it would kick in. So that's the way we set it up. So it's not to make it about her, not to make it about Dr. Harris.
Well, I mean, that's such a big deal because if she wanted to, or if they wanted to, or whoever is operating behind the scenes there could say, we don't like this bill, you need to kill it. But it's just that, like you said, agnostic is better than what I suppose it could be, or at least consider what we've seen in the past, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I don't know where she was in before because I wasn't the sponsor of it, but I feel like, you know, if she's okay with it now, you know, we will follow up on that. I mean, I certainly don't think she'd veto it, but, you know, as far as just, I don't think she's, you know, pushing it. I don't think it's one of her priorities.
Well, it sounds like you got some wind in your sails, and we're going to keep on watching it. But thank you once again for making time for us, and let's be in touch soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. That was State Senator Sam Gavan there. We got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said something.